Okay, so get this, right? There are actually beetles out there that, get this, they love fire.
Yeah.
Like they don't just tolerate it, they actually look for it. So we are diving deep today into the world of these pyrophilic insects,
Yeah.
which, by the way, that means fire loving, to understand like why fire is so important to these little creatures.
And it's not just fire in general, right? This 2024 study that you sent over, that was published in the journal Insects, it really gets into the specifics of how the timing and the location of recent burns can really impact these beetles in Sweden.
So it's like how those burn areas are actually laid out in the landscape makes a difference.
Exactly.
So the study area is Östergötland County,
Okay.
and they had actually a surprisingly low burn rate.
Okay.
Only like 0.14% of the forest had burned over this 12-year period.
Yeah, and that's really important context, right? Because if fire is relatively rare in a landscape, then understanding kind of its impact when it does happen is really crucial for those conservation efforts.
So, like, how did they even study these fire-loving beetles? Did they like chase wildfires around with a butterfly net?
Well, not quite. They use something called smoke attraction traps, which is essentially a controlled way to mimic the conditions of a forest fire and to see what, what beetles are attracted to it.
I have to admit, in my head, I'm picturing them like lighting a trash can on fire
Yeah.
and then like seeing what crawls in.
Sure.
But I'm guessing it was a little more scientific than that.
It was a bit more sophisticated. They would burn birch logs, in a way that created like a very focused plume of smoke, and that would, mimic what happens in a natural forest fire.
Very clever. Very clever. So it worked.
It did.
They lured in the pyrophilic party.
It did. It was the, they captured 2,220 beetles
Well,
spanning 166 different species.
that's a lot of beetles.
Yeah, it just highlights how diverse, the insect world is, even in a landscape with fairly like infrequent fire.
Okay, so of those 166 species, how many were actually, these fire lovers?
Yeah, so 13 of those were identified as definitely pyrophilic, meaning that they really need fire to thrive.
Okay, cool. So it's not just destructive, it actually is creating these opportunities
Exactly.
for certain species. But what's like that connection then between where they found those pyrophilic beetles and like the history of fire in the area?
Right. Well, that's where things get really interesting, because they found the strongest connection for fires that had happened within 2 kilometers of the trap and within the past 2 to 3 years. So there's like a window,
A magic
a magic window.
of
Exactly.
time and distance.
That's exactly right. And that has like big implications for how we think about prescribed burns and conservation, right? Because it's not just enough to just have fire on the landscape. We need to think about where it's happening and how often it's happening. And if we want to support these pyrophilic beetle populations, these like random spread out fires probably aren't going to cut it, you know? Okay, so it's like we need to create these little fire friendly like zones within the larger landscape. And that 2 kilometer, 2 to 3 year window is like
Yeah,
super important.
that's really the key takeaway.
Okay.
And it makes sense if you think about like the actual resources that these beetles rely on,
Yeah.
right? They're attracted to that like freshly burned wood, specific types of fungi that thrive in those post-fire conditions,
Yeah.
things that will like disappear as the forest starts to recover.
Yeah, so it's not just about just having fire, it's about having those conditions that the fire creates and how long they last.
It's exactly right. Yeah, it's a much more nuanced relationship.
Yeah, and speaking of nuanced relationships, you mentioned earlier that they found 166 different species in those smoke traps. Were they all fire lovers, or did they find anything unexpected in there?
Well, that's the thing about scientific research. Sometimes the most interesting discoveries are the ones that you're not even looking for. Ooh, okay, you gotta tell me more. What did they find?
So remember how we talked about how they collected over 2,000 beetles? Like 2,220 beetles?
Yeah, a lot of beetles.
Two of the most abundant species that were attracted to the smoke were not pyrophilic at all.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
What were they doing there? Just crashing the party.
It seems like it, these gate crashers, as we're calling them, were actually non-native detritivores,
Detritivores.
which are essentially compost dweller.
Compost dwellers. Okay, so what's their excuse then for showing up to a simulated forest fire?
Right. Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? The researchers think that the layer of ash and needles that you get on a recently burned forest floor might actually mimic their usual habitat.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So even though they're not fire adapted,
right,
they're still drawn to those conditions just for totally different reasons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It just highlights how, you know, fire can have these ripple effects throughout the ecosystem and impact all these different species in ways that we might not initially expect.
That's so cool. It makes you wonder, like, what other hidden connections are out there that we don't even know about yet.
Totally.
So for our listener who's getting ready for that big conservation meeting,
yeah,
what's like the big takeaway here? If they're thinking about using prescribed burns, like, what would you say is the biggest takeaway from this study?
Well, I think this research really highlights how important it is to think about those concentrated burns.
Okay.
You know, having those clusters of recently burned areas, ideally within, you know, a couple of kilometers of each other.
All right.
That seems to be really crucial for a lot of these specialized beetles.
Okay.
It's about creating those hot spots where they can actually thrive.
Yeah, it's not just about like how much we burn. It's about where we burn and also when, right? We need to kind of think strategically about how those burn areas are laid out across the landscape if we want to support all these cool fire-adapted insects.
Exactly. And, you know, it's fascinating, too, because, you know, this study really reveals how interconnected everything is.
Yeah.
Right. We've got these pyrophilic beetles who are, you know, completely dependent on this very specific kind of fire regime.
Right.
And then at the same time, you have these like non-native detritivores who are also drawn to those same conditions.
Right.
For totally different reasons.
It really makes you appreciate just how complex these ecosystems really are.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder, right? Like, you know, if these non-native species are finding a foothold in these post-fire landscapes, like, what does that mean in the long run?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's something that, you know, researchers are still trying to figure out.
Right.
It's possible that they could be, you know, out competing native species for resources.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe they're fulfilling a similar kind of ecological role.
Yeah.
But just, you know, in a new environment.
Interesting.
We really need more research to understand what the long-term implications are.
It's a good reminder that, like, we're always learning.
Always.
There's always more to discover. But, you know, for our listener out there who's heading to that conservation meeting, it sounds like they've got some solid takeaways.
Yeah.
Right? They know now that those concentrated burns are so important.
Right.
For those pyrophilic beetles.
For sure.
And they also are kind of, you know, more in tune now with all those like unexpected ripple effects that fire can have on other species too.
Absolutely. Yeah. This has been a really interesting deep dive into, you know, how fire shapes these ecosystems.
Totally.
And I hope it'll, you know, spark some more exploration and discussion moving forward.
Well said. On that note of curiosity and wonder,
yes,
we will wrap up this deep dive
yeah.
into the world of fire beetles.
Been a pleasure.
And all those surprising ways that they actually rely on fire.
Yeah.
So, listener, we hope this information helps you as you navigate those important conversations.
Good luck out there.
About conservation and prescribed burns.
Absolutely.
And we'll catch you next time.
See you later.